Anyhow, we're so glad. Ephesians this morning, Ephesians, we enter out. Young people are out. Young people are out. If you're in elementary school, middle school, or if you just think it'll be better back there than up here, you can be dismissed. And so several of you adults started going for the door, I understand. So anyway, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians this morning, book of Ephesians, and chapter number three. How many of you are glad to be here? How many of you know somebody that's been sick or under the weather or something like that lately, a few weeks and all? How many of you know a whole lot of people been sick or under the weather or whatnot? You don't get to raise your hand. You work at a hospital. And you could be having both hands and one foot up, couldn't you? And so what are we doing? We're doing the same thing we've been doing. Everybody use good judgment and exercise things. We feel the need. We'll do whatever. We'll continue to operate that way, and we will operate without a smirk. I'm convinced of this. I am not mousing people down because they're talking and listening to their doctors or trying to use some caution. I'm just not going to do that. I see all kind of pastors who all of a sudden became doctors, and we're just not going to do that here. Okay, everybody nod your head at me. We're going to do this without a smirk. And so please, please know that. And again, do not feel bad. Let me do encourage, though, as this, all this goes through, and again, I want to say this so it would be on the video. As we do this, make sure you stay engaged. Make sure you get the email updates. If you're a social media person, stay on social media. If you're not, grab the app. The app will feed you everything. You'll see events and upcoming things. And so we try and really do that. But stay engaged, and that'll help you, again, as we navigate this. And I just want to say that, and again, engagement always precedes the other. And so make sure you're doing it. Make sure you're trying to do that. And anyway, that's just for free. Is that okay? Every so often, I feel like I need to say that from my heart. I'm just not going to do the other. And so Ephesians chapter 3, going to read several verses this morning. Stand with us one more time. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1. We're not going to detail all of these, but we're going to give you the good idea. Verse number 1, and maybe as you came in, you got a handout. Verse 1, if you don't have a Bible, make sure you share it. And again, we're trying to encourage you, if you have a copy of God's Word, maybe to bring it with you, and we can look in our Bibles. Verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. What a thought. Serving God has landed me in jail, but I'm not in jail because of Rome and Caesar. I'm in prison because Jesus has deemed it so. Man, that is a way to look at something, isn't it? Verse number 2, if you've heard of the dispensation or administration of the grace of God, which is given to me, you were to hope that by revelation it may be known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. You say, he's talking about one thing, he's going another. And what we have, some call it a divine interruption, others just call it a parenthetical. He will pick up verse 1 back in verse 4, up in verse 14 and 15. But in the middle of this, he's given us something precious, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. Mystery to us is something Scooby-Doo solves. It's something we figure out in the last 5 minutes of a movie, the last chapter of a book. Here it just means something that was not known that is known, something that God hinted or alluded at, maybe in the Old Testament, but now we understand completely or much better in the New. Verse 5, where in the ages, which in other ages not made known the sons of men, is now revealed by his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. We picked up on that in the chapter 2, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, proclaimer, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And that is an unbelievable verse. Verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints. If you write in your Bibles, if you highlight in your app, Bible app, this is the humility of a servant of God, who is less than the least of all his saints. You're looking for something for your tombstone, you can do a lot worse than verse 8. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? I was incorrect, excuse me, that word there, preaches, proclaim. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the world has been hidden God who created all things by Jesus Christ to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you which is your glory. See, you're preaching all this, not hardly, but you need to see what it is so we can get there and find the T-bone and the sirloin that's here and see what God has for us this morning. Would you pray with me one more time, Father, front to back, left to right. Stir our hearts. Thrill us with the opportunity before us. And may we hear, understand, and obey the Word of God. Thank you. Thank you for working in my heart. Thank you for filling me again with great desire. Thank you for reminding me that it is your work and not mine. And oh, how I pray we would understand this application this morning. And I pray it all in your son's precious and holy name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Let me see if my clicker's clicking. There we go. Clicker's clicking. And again, all young people, again, I know we've got special sheets for you sometimes for you to be able to take and have things. And the guys are got everything recording and all back there. And so, and those of you other adults, some of you like to look at the app. Some of you like the handout. Some of you bring your own way of doing this. But I'm going to give you some principles this morning, some applications that are really going to help. I think really going to be a help to you, and we're going to go from there. When I do things, is anybody? I need a little bit of audience participation, just for saying. If I have someone tell me just one thing, this is the way it works. In particular, if you give me like a video or a piece of paper or something, then I'm just golden, right? I'm golden. This will do this, and one thing, I'm okay. Two things, I'm still usually okay. I'm usually okay, especially if they're similar. Now, you're with me. These are instructions. They're a little different, but they're the same. Is everybody with me? But if you give me five sets of instructions and five different videos, or you act like you're really authoritative, and it's five different people, then I don't have instruction. All I have is confusion. Anybody else like that? Man, the more, or you like this, the more somebody tried to help you, the loster you got. Has anybody been there? A few of you, some of you going, yeah, I'm lost right now. I don't know what you're doing, preacher. And we're there. Through the years, I've collected a lot of resources, different books of the Bible. I have more than a few on the book of Ephesians. Ironically, I didn't know this till three or four months ago. I didn't know that I actually had more on this than I had of Philippians. I really thought that was, I really thought I had more there. And so what I typically do on Monday or Tuesday, again, I just peel the curtain back, just say, I've kind of boiled it down to quite a few, but I've kind of boiled all those down because some of them are repetitive, some of them were written in the 1700s, 1800s, and man, they use a lot of words, and more than I do. And so I've got it kind of down, and so I've got some things from the 1800s, 1900s, and then just even last 10 years. And so that's typically, I'm looking, see if there's anything jumps out at me, kind of getting my heart ready for whatever is ahead. One way I study with commentary is not the way I study. One thing I found was most everybody looked at this didactically. This is just teaching. This is teaching on mystery, the gospel. This is teaching on the way God reveals himself and just different things. But a couple of folks 100 years ago said, this is a biography of the Apostle Paul. I didn't think much about it. Came back, a couple of guys in the last 10 years picked up on that, and they said the same thing. This is a great passage for learning about things, but it's an application passage. And so if you'll allow me this morning, if you'll allow me to revisit this at some point, I want to just give you application this morning. It's a rich doctrinal passage. I'm not circumventing this. But there's some truths here that fit real well at the start of a year. And there's some principles that'll help you. There's some whys, and some hows. Let me help you. Anybody here, sometimes motivation is a little more important to you or a little more necessary sometimes than education? And you need both, right? You need to know, and then you need to do. Everybody understand that? Otherwise, you just become a reservoir, and nothing good comes out of you. But I'm going to do that for time's sake. I can't do both. I can do both, but you don't want me to. I can't do both, but I want to do the other, and I want to do this. Again, this is not an original idea with me. It's mine, but I'm so thrilled. I got this, and I wasn't going to do it, and then I kept going. And Friday, seemed like the Lord's going to do this, and Saturday, and this morning even, man, I just overwhelmed with this. And so I want to help. I want to help you to have a heart. I want to help you have a heart for the nations to know King Jesus, to have a heart for the nations. Let me ask you, don't raise your hand, don't nod, don't bid on something in auction. Do you struggle having the kind of heart that you want for lost people? Do you find yourself mad at them? Do you find yourself ambivalent toward them? Do you find yourself apathetic toward them? Shaking your hand at them. Why don't these lost people act better? Why don't these saved people act better? You find yourself critical of them. All right. How can you do it? How can we have that? How can we feed that heart? Let me ask you a second, a follow-up question. You still with me this morning? Still with me? Would you like to, if the Lord tarries by December 31, to be able to have someone on the bench? We don't have benches here. Someone on the chair beside of you that you had a part in them coming to Jesus? Do you have some family member that you got to pray with over the phone and they came to Jesus? Some coworker whose life may be a mess or maybe squeaky clean, but they don't know. And you want to have anybody here? That would be a great thing to have to celebrate December 31. I believe it's going to start when we learn some of these applications here. If you've ever wanted or you've ever been more energized and enthused about the souls of men than you are right now, or you're like me, you need to constantly stoke that fire. I offer you this accidental biography. This accidental biography of this missionary, evangelistic heart. You interested? You with me here? Go to Ephesians. You got the book of Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to kind of see the run-in here, the run-up to it. Go to chapter 1, verse 16. Let me move up. Yeah, there we go. That's me. There we go. See, why does it do that? Because my belly is pushing out. Verse chapter 1. I gotta move it in the middle of the camel's hump here. Verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1. I cease not to give. Verse 15. Pardon me. Let me just read it here. Verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He starts a prayer in verse 16, 17, 18, and 19. He does what we would call an interruption or a parenthetical. Verse 1 of chapter 3, he picks it up again. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He's got another parenthetical, another interruption there. It goes all the way to verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's got a prayer begun and a prayer interrupted here. He is going through this. He is so enthusiastic about what he says here under the inspiration of God that he just is overflowing, and it comes out of him here. So when we're talking about this is just exciting to him. And he's relaying this to us. So what do we see here? What do we see here? I think it'll be helpful. Number one, follow the will of God. Follow the will of God. Follow the will of God. If you want to have a heart for people, then you have to follow the will of God. You have to follow it. I believe this is a decision for an altar. I believe this is a decision for a conference or a camp meeting. I believe it's a regular decision. I'm going to trust God when the seasons of life and change come about, whether it's moving or vocational opportunities or those kind of things. But for most of us, if not all of us, this is a daily decision. Your will, not mine, Lord. Say, where do you get that? Go to verse number 1. I, Paul, the prisoner of who? Jesus Christ. Following God has put me in this prison. Following God's got me chained up between two Praetorian guards. Following God has led me here. By the way, this has always been the will of God for Paul. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, at his conversion, he says that he will, verse 16, I will show him what great things that he must suffer for my name's sake, Paul, you follow me, things will be difficult. You'll be difficult. Follow God's will. Follow God's will. It's a crying shame if you go overseas, those of you who travel, what we've exported in Christianity to so many places is health and wealth. That if you follow God, you won't ever get sick. You follow God, you'll have plenty of money. And they preach this to poverty-stricken people. They preach the American dream instead of the gospel of suffering and the gospel of God, that you may suffer for doing what's well. And that's where most of us get stuck, right? I will serve God if it's convenient. I will follow God as long as it's easy. I will do whatever. And when you let heartache or heartbreak come into your life, and all of a sudden, man, we're out the door, aren't we? How many folks, they'll follow God as long as God's doing kind of close to what they won't have happen. He says, I will follow him, follow his will. A couple of things here, and I want to be very quickly, I want to move quickly here. He follows God in location. Paul was here, and now he is there. He's come by way of shipwreck. He's come by way of imprisonment and beating. I think you pray about your location. Pray about your location. God, where do you want me? Where do you want us? We've for whatever reason, I think it's the end of the year, Andre and I have been talking about coming here and moving here and the things. Truth of the matter, Andre didn't know what I was preaching. She was talking about this morning on the drive in. She was talking about the things that God had to work out for us, our family, to be here in Knoxville, Tennessee for these years now and to move here without knowing hardly anybody. We met the pulpit committee just a little bit and we moved here and there's no family, no support system and all these kind of things. And it was God's will for us to be here. And we've been able to see what God has done. And it's all because someone encouraged us to follow the will of God for your life. You want to have a heart, man, it's going to start with some submission. What do you want me to do, Lord? By the way, you say, I'm older, or I'm younger, and I'm excused. Let me remind you. You may be in the last half of your life, and you're 22, and you may have all kind of years left, and you're 82. God gets the best of wherever I am and however old I am because I have submitted myself to him, and you need to do that, whatever the circumstances are. How many of you think, man, if you serve Jesus and everything goes sideways, that'd be an excuse to quit, right? You ever been that disgusted? For me, that's a lawnmower or a chainsaw. One of those two-cycle machines. Man, I'm done. You sit there and pull them, you crank them, and all of a sudden you're going, that's demonic. Man, that thing's evil. Evil. Anybody, you lost your mind with something you could throw, you know, real well, and you pump it and you prime it and it leaks and you smell and you get it all over you and all these kind of things. And for me, it always happens if I try and do it without changing clothes. Try and change the clothes. All of a sudden, man, I've donated some really nice clothes because I'm not ashamed to admit I've prayed over those things. I prayed over a weed ear, Lord. Either cause it to start or cause it to be raptured. I'm done with this thing. I've been on my way before with a pressure washer. I've been on my way to back to Home Depot. I'm going to buy another one because I can't get this to work. And then pull in the parking lot and think, let me try this one thing. Oh, sure enough, I didn't have something cut on it. And those kind of things. The amount of frustration. Paul is right in the middle of the will of God, and he's in a mess. Will you serve God if it's hard? It all starts here with submission. Submission. By the way, he's willing to suffer. Go to verse 13. Verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Let me help you here. Let me give you Rodney Ease here. It isn't about me. It's about him. It isn't about me. Don't you be discouraged that things don't look like they're going well. This is for your glory, the glory of the church, the glory of God. If it goes well with me, fine. If it doesn't go well with me, fine. One of the best decisions we made a few years ago was this was not going to be the first church of Rodney. It wasn't going to be that way. I may be the more well-known person in the community, but it ain't going to be about me, and it ain't going to be about my and mine. It's about us and you, and more than that, it's about Jesus. And if I suffer for him, Paul says, it's okay. And I care about your heart. By the way, that's what you want in a shepherd, by the way, caring about each other. That's what you get to do is shepherding each other and loving each other. You follow the will of God. If you believe that this morning, say amen. He gets a little further here. Love and understand the gospel. Verse 2. Verse 2. Love and understand the gospel. If you've heard of the administration, dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. Or again, this is something we're going to come back and visit. I really can spend a whole sermon on this, but just let me survey it and fly over it just for a minute. God has decided to show you grace. He gave it to me. I gave it to you. How many of you, that sounds like evangelism to you? Somebody gave it to me. I gave it to you. Is that not a simple definition of soul winning or evangelism or those kind of things? Verse 3. How that by revelation, it isn't my opinion, it isn't my truth, it isn't what works for me. This is from God. From God. Depending on where you grew up with the word ex cathedra, out of the church. Some folks would jokingly say out of the chair, talking about the Pope. I can do you one better than ex cathedra and out of the chair. I can do you one better. I can do you one better. Again, if you're in South American countries, they're talking about the Pope and all those kind of things. I can do you one better than that. And that's out of heaven, revelation there. That this is from the Lord. This is ex scriptura. This is from the Bible. It was made known to me, the mystery. What mystery? The Jews and Gentiles alike can be part of this new thing God has done, the church. And that ethnically diverse, and that folks in poorest part of Africa, and folks in the upper reaches of Alaska, folks all the way across in Southeast Asia, they can all hear the same gospel and believe in the same Jesus and be part of the same wonderful living organism, the New Testament church. This is the mystery that God has given to me. How is that worked? By faith. By hearing, understanding, receiving the gospel. When you read verse 4, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. People leave and they go, man, that preacher's really smart. I didn't understand that. It doesn't take intellect to be obtuse, to be obscure. It doesn't take brains to be complicated. And it doesn't do any good if you got a whole bunch of knowledge and you don't share it. Then you got to, now some of you extroverts going, finally, I can go talk strangers' ears off. That's not what I said. I'm talking about the gospel. Doesn't do anybody any good if you keep all this to yourself. Man, I have been given this to give to others, and God has declared it to me so that I can share others. Somebody say amen to that. So we have that. All right, that verse 5, which in other ages not made known to the sons of men as it was now revealed by his holy apostles and prophets. Again, I refer you back to last week's message that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. I love and understand the message of God that it was not meant for just us. It's not just meant for Hispanic folks. It's not just meant for Asian folks. Not just meant for Slavic-speaking people. It's not just meant for Indo-Europeans. It's not just meant for WASP, white Anglo-Saxon. It's Protestant. It's not just meant for us. It's meant for everybody, Jew and Gentile. That's everybody. That's everybody. Who needs the gospel? Everybody. Who's the gospel for? Everybody. Everybody. Everybody ought to know. We teach the children. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. And I know I'm not on pitch. Who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. If you believe that this morning, say amen. It starts here. Starts with what I know. Starts with submission. Starts with submission. You still with me? Number 3 here. Never get over the grace of God. You want to have a heart for the lost? You want to have a heart for evangelism? You want to December 31 to have somebody and several somebodies maybe that you have influenced to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Don't get over the grace of God. Don't get over the grace of God. Verse number 7. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. People who strut and do all this and posters everywhere and chunk their name everywhere. Somebody says, preacher, you don't like contemporary music. You don't seem like you like some Southern gospel music. I'm just not much on self-promotion. I think we ought to be about Jesus promotion. I mean, I'm not, you got to advertise. I understand brand. I really do understand all that. It's when you start believing your own press that it bothers me. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. Anything I get to do for Jesus is by the grace of God. And if it goes well, it's because of the power of God. That's a pretty good accidental biography, isn't it? Isn't that the way we ought to live? You say, man, I can't do this. I can't talk to people. I can't invite people. Or whatever roadblock you're at. Let me give you a timeout. I think those are sincere roadblocks. Are you with me? I really do. Being nervous about talking to somebody, being nervous about inviting someone, I'm not picking on you. I just want to say to you that there's more in the tank than you realize. That your reserves are greater than you may realize. And that to talk and invite people and to encourage them and to whatever part you get to play in their life, it's because God has graced you and given you that burden and given you that opportunity at the job or whatever. And it is He who is empowering you. By the way, don't you think that if God is working on you about somebody, then God's working on them? He cares a whole lot more about their salvation than you do and I do. I'm not picking on you. I'm simply saying God's at work. Paul said, I am here because of the grace of God. Why? The end of verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach, proclaim among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Jesus. Don't get over the grace of God. Notice what he talks like a teenager. The grace of God. The unsearchable riches of Christ. It's funny, those of you who like language, it's funny. This is a word that doesn't exist that we can tell outside of here in the Greek. He took some words and combined them. He made up a word. He made up a word because this, how do you describe the indescribable? How do you search the unsearchable? Do you take a teaspoon in the Pacific Ocean and say, I'm about to make a big dent? No. You just go, man, look at all that. And be amazed. He said, I'm still amazed at grace. I'm still amazed at God's grace to me. I'm still amazed that I get to do anything for Him. And I'm still amazed at the gospel of God. Don't get over the grace of God. How sad. We're just bored to tears, aren't we? How sad we move from show to show. A preacher friend of mine in another state, a fantastic music ministry. He said, when I get real cynical and I get real discouraged, he said, I'll say stupid things like, well, there's no need to learn their last name. What are you talking about? He said, no need to learn their last name. They won't be here long. They're here for the show and then they'll be down the road. I said, man, what a thing to say. He said, they'll like our show, they'll like somebody else's show. You like the robes, and then you get tired of the robes, and you want the ceiling different color, you want the smoke in the mirrors, then you want everybody chanting and all. If you're just in it for the show, then you won't be here long. Don't be in it for the show. Be in it for the grace of God, the unsearchable riches of Jesus. And when I come, it isn't about me, it's about Him. And when we go out, man, we do this because God has done this in our hearts and in our lives. I mean, you think that's a better way to live, by the way. The unsearchable riches of Christ, to be mystified, to be speechless. And then because we're so speechless, we can't get over it. Have you noticed some people like to talk about politics? Anybody here notice that? Have you noticed anybody here can't stop talking about some things? For years, we first moved here. We never lived in an SEC town. I didn't grow up Alabama or anywhere like that. I grew up in North Carolina where we played football as a way to get in exercise and shape for basketball. Just terrible football teams growing up. And we moved here. I just never seen it. And so it was Saturday. Everybody worked during the week. It was Saturday, so I'm going visiting right in the middle of the football games on afternoon. And people knew I was a new pastor, so they were polite, but they were mighty irritated. Mighty irritated that I'd showed up. One guy paused and said, good to see you. And he never made eye contact with me. He just stared at the frozen DVR screen because I had showed up at his house to say, hello, I'm the new pastor and all. And I finally figured out, it was a good time to get a haircut. I figured it was a good time to go to a restaurant. And but it wasn't a good time to make phone calls. To this day, some years later, I look at the schedule on Saturday to make sure I don't do the all call when a ball game is on, if I can help it, because it really, really annoys some of you and some people. But we tracked it. It was so bad. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but sometimes the volunteers lose. And I can say that now because it's not football season, and y'all got a year to get over it. And Tar Heels lose all the time. It's fine. And they would do. And I tracked it one time. I tracked our attendance would drop when they would lose. Remember that, Joe? I tracked our attendance and our offerings would drop when they would lose. Drew, and they lost like three in a row. I'm like, there's no need to have church. We just meet in the Volkswagen, you know, outside. I mean, there's no need to be here. It affected the mood so badly, so badly. Never been anywhere where the city had a mood. Let me remind you. Your mood ought not to be tempered by the suffering back in verse 1, by the heartache and by all those kind of, your mood needs to be tempered, and the thermostat of your life ought to be that you have never gotten over the grace of God. Humility, verse number 7, less than the least of these. What's big in my life is Jesus. What's big in my life is the message of Christ. Let those two things be there. Let those be the bookends on your, let those be the bookends on your temperament and your perspective. How many of you think you'd be a little better off if you lived that way, right? Apart from the grace of God. But because of the grace of God, I get to do and I get to see. You say, preacher, we never talk about current events or politics. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if somebody steps on our foot, somebody squeezes us real hard, man, I'm amazed at Jesus and his gospel. That ought to pop out somewhere, amen. Pop out somewhere. Verse, number 4, 5, and 6 here. Proclaim the riches of Christ. Proclaim, make much of Jesus. Somebody introduced me to this expression about 8, 9 years ago. I've tried to pray. I don't think I pray it every day, but I pray it a whole lot. I used to pray it quite a bit here. I felt like I was in a rut, and I stopped praying it publicly. Help me make much of Jesus. Help me make much of Jesus. The unsearchable riches of his gospel. Help me make much of him. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It is about him. Make much of him. Say, how can I have the heart of an evangelist? How can I have the heart of a missionary? How can I learn from this accidental biography of the Apostle Paul? Make much of him and then help everybody know. Verse 9. You still with me? Say amen. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden. God who created all things by Christ Jesus. The gospel starting in the opening book of Genesis is the mind of God speaks out into the creation of God that men would know who he is. Help everybody know that all men would know. Why do we shoot videos on the screen and let you know about, because everybody ought to know. Why did you all give just a couple of dollars away from $22,000 to outside ministries, to missions, to mission events and those kind of things? Why did you do that? Because everybody needs to know, because that's the heart of God. And the closer I get to the heart of God, then that ought to be my heart, that people would know. People would know. Why, again, we hadn't done it since COVID, but why do we go down one afternoon a month and go down to Carm and serve and be down there? Sometimes we'd serve 75, sometimes we'd serve 225, and we'd go down there and try and love on people who don't live close to us, but we would do that as a one-way ministry and to tell them why, because everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Why don't we prayer walk some of our neighborhoods? And as soon as the weather changes, we'll start doing that some more on Wednesday nights. And hopefully soon we'll be able to do that for a second Saturday a month. We're working out some of the scheduling and all, give you opportunity to pray and to witness. Why don't we provide resources for you? And some of you have made your own. Those kind, because everybody ought to know. We can help them know. We can help them know. Proclaim the riches of Christ. Proclaim the riches of Christ. He says, love the church. Verse 10. So much I want to say. To the intent now, principalities and powers in heavenly places, angels and demons alike are watching what might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, whose idea was the church, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. To not love his church. Again, pastoral injunction. I'm not talking about being heard. I'm not talking about people who've been removed from us for a while medically or out of caution. I'm not talking their shut-ins things. If you hear that stridency in my voice, that's a mistake on my part. I'm not. Paul says, I love the church. The angels and the demons, they look at the church. It's the eternal purpose of God. He's got a high view of the church. Love the church. Love the church. I'm amazed that people say they love Jesus, but they have no love for the people of God. That's out of bounds to me. Everybody understand that? There's something disconnected there. Again, I'm not talking about hurts and all those kind of things. I'm not talking about people trying to get over something. Love the church, and then I'm done. Love the church, and then keep your heart warm in prayer. Keep your heart warm in prayer. It's going to be one of our themes for 2022, Lord willing. Verse 12, Ephesians chapter 2. In whom we have boldness, we've heard that before, and access, yeah, that sounds familiar, with confidence by the faith of Him. He's using prayer words. God save my son. God save my daughter. God save my niece or nephew. God save my coworker. God, I'm coming to you, and I'm in a difficult place, and if I take a stand for you, it's going to impact my child. If I speak up, it's going to ruffle some feathers in the family. If I do this, my neighbors may paint me a little differently. If I speak up, my coworkers may look askew. And you got all kind of reasons why not. And He says, take that to me in prayer. My heart ebbs and flows in evangelistic, soul-winning, gospel fervor most of the time in relation to how I pray for people. I can talk about evangelism. I can talk about being concerned with people. But I am concerned when I start taking their name to God in prayer. Paul says, you can do this. I am here in prison for the gospel's sake, and you are there, and I am writing to you, letting you know you have the same access and the same. It's saying, don't have to knock boldness. You have every bit of all that I do, and you will keep your heart warm this way. How many of you catch that, by the way? My heart's warmer or colder so many times based on how I'm praying for people who need Christ. Anybody? Did you have access there? You have access there. Pray for the nations. Pray for those who are lost, and pray for workers. I added that later. Pray for the nations. That's what we get to do Sundays. We pray for Japan when we're praying for the Spears. We pray for the area in Montana there when we're praying for them. We get to pray this. We pray that way. Who do you know who's lost? And that's what I want you to do in your paper. Who do you know who's not right with God? Pray for them, and then pray for volunteers. Pray for workers. How many of you think we need people just like that serving the Lord? How many of you think we need a church full of people like that serving the Lord? These applications, this accidental biography. Man, I went through that, and as God started sculpting this out early in the week and then later, and I'm just overwhelmed with it. This is where I need to be. This is where I'm at. When I'm effective for Christ, this is where I want my heart to be. I want to spend my days, spend my moments doing my best to model some of these six characteristics, because I think that's how you have a heart for the nations. I think it's how you have a heart for the lost. I think it's how you have a heart for your coworkers and your family. And I think what we know fills our heart, and it helps us with what we do. You want a heart like that? You want to join me in praying and asking God to have a heart like that? Would you do that right now? Our heads are bowed. Which is real simple this morning. This is my desire. This is the kind of heart I want to have. God gives me grace and gives me life. December 31, I want to have invested in others.